You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hi, everyone. Debbie Laux here to share more of Monty's concepts and wisdom about the trust and insight that we can learn from horses and apply to our own lives. Welcome to this 9th episode reading from Horse Sense for People. This chapter is about rest and reflection. How can we temper our work sessions and achieve happiness and generosity in our horses? Horse owners and employers could pick up some tips from this chapter as to how to keep enthusiasm high and pressure low.
Respect. This is a story about Brownie, a very good horse that I had all through the early 40s, but began to show in earnest at the end of 1948. I had a problem with him that I now know is a very common one in the training of competition horses. He taught me a lesson, one with wide implications for families and business, about the damage we do by making unreasonable demands. By the age of 13, I had already won many championships and was a highly trained performer in the Western Division of horse shows. Brownie became my primary horse in these contests, and I entered him in virtually every category of Western-style riding. He was cooperative, energetic, and generous, but his sliding stops were magic. Every horse, like every person, has his Achilles heel, and for Brownie, it was his figure eights. To win in high-level competition, you must be sharp in all phases of your discipline. Brownie and I were winning nearly every week, but I could see the competition getting tougher and our performance tailing off. Our figure eights were less than I wanted them to be, and I just couldn't seem to keep his enthusiasm as high as I wanted. I consulted a couple of the old masters, and both indicated to me that they thought Brownie was tired. They felt he needed a rest in order to sharpen his responses. I sat down and reflected on our training sessions and concluded that I was overtraining Brownie. He was jaded and going sour on his work. It seemed I wanted him to be just as good on Wednesday in practice as he was on Sunday in the finals. I obviously hadn't yet learned how to temper the work sessions so as to keep my horse fresh and happy in mind, body, and spirit.
What's great about hands-on gloves? First, they remove hair beautifully. The nodules are designed to grab loose hair without pulling. Second, you can use them wet or dry. Dry brushing, bathing, shampooing, they do it all. The gloves don't slip when they're wet, which is a huge deal for bath time. Three, you have way more control than a traditional brush. Your hands follow the contours of the animal's body, around the face, down the legs, under the belly, over the hips. No awkward angles, just natural position. And, you know, the last thing is animals really trust them because it's your hands doing the grooming. Horses and pets accept them much easier than a hard plastic brush. They're great for young horses, sensitive-skinned horses, rescue animals, animals new to handling, and they protect your hands, too. We trust them. You can, too. At Monty Roberts University, we have one of the most comprehensive, accessible, and transformative equine education platforms in the world. Here's what makes it truly exceptional. We have over 900 video lessons from Monty himself and top trainers all over the world. We learn the language of equus on there. Monty Roberts University is built around Monty's lifelong work of decoding equus, the nonverbal communication system that horses use naturally. The university teaches people how to listen to horses and respond in a way that builds trust instead of fear, changing training relationships forever. You can learn anytime, anywhere. The platform is available 24/7 on any device, and it's proven gentle and science-backed methods. We solve real-world problems. The university covers issues that riders encounter every day: spooking, bucking, trailer loading, tying, catching, leading, groundwork, and more. Demonstrated on real horses with real behaviors. So come learn with us at Monty Roberts University. There's new lessons every week. We have fresh content that keeps the learning alive. Students get new episodes featuring Monty and guest trainers, special horses, and behind-the-scenes insights from the farm. Go to MontyRobertsUniversity.com. Come learn with us.
We humans often speed through life focused on our goals and kicking obstacles out of the way. The type A of our species is generally a high achiever and often becomes the boss. The boss will often fail to recognize the need for praise and recognition because he or she exists in a self-motivated bubble. Employers who may need little sleep and are intrinsically motivated expect the same dedication from their employees, who are generally extrinsically motivated. We should spend more time establishing intrinsic motivation and make fewer outright demands. It's easy to make unreasonable demands of those we ask to perform for us. These demands, however, stress employees who may have other needs to be met, which may, more likely than not, precede ours. I can understand that Brownie was pressured, perhaps beyond the limits of what he felt he was able to give me. I trespassed into his energy reserve that was his alone, and his intrinsic motivation flagged as a result. Employers often make the same mistake, and if that happens, they should work to quickly discover their employees' needs, look for solutions, and negotiate. About this time, while I was cleaning stalls one morning, I had a conversation with Brownie, which marked a turning point in my perception of the word partnership. "Brownie," I said, "if I could speak your language, what I would say is that if we could somehow strike a deal, I would set you free to practice at your pace, Monday through Friday. I wouldn't press you as much as I have in the past. If you could guarantee me a superb performance on Saturday and Sunday. I've been putting too much pressure on you, and I believe I've stolen your enthusiasm for the work we're doing. I intend to change and become more aware of your needs. I still expect the very best from you, but I think I've been unfair." I was really talking to myself, but I was the only one that really needed to hear it anyway. I stopped pushing him so hard during the week. Brownie did regain his enthusiasm when we went on to win many more championships. Today, I'm often asked for advice about problems with horses. People will often start out by saying, "I've got a stupid horse." As soon as I hear this, I have a strong suspicion about where the problem lies. It is all too often with the person, not the horse. There's significant educational value in asking ourselves what we have done to contribute to the problem, whether dealing with people or horses. Remember, horses were doing just fine for approximately 47 million years before the emergence of Homo sapiens. My answer is there are no problem horses, only horses that have problems with the actions of people.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as we did. If you're eager to learn more and connect with the incredible world of Monty Roberts, we have so much more to share. Beyond our insightful books, you can explore comprehensive courses through our online university. Join us at inspiring events and tap into a wide variety of educational materials. It all starts at MontyRobertsUniversity.com/library.